I'm a shot in the dark, wary sort of spark. I'm a light that's too bright for me to see.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Redbox Media. All right, here we go. Episode 169. I'm really tempted to break into like some rendition of the summer of 69. It was episode 169. Yeah, but I'm not going to do that. I guess I did just do that, didn't I? Wow. I did what I wasn't going to do by telling you that I wasn't going to do it. That's it's kind of meta. So here we go on this little thing that we like to call the counterposition. So what's going on? Man, Friday. It is, in fact, is it not the Feast of the Sacred Heart? Or was that yesterday? Let's find out. Here, live Googling with Andrew Whaley. Let's go to universalis.com. And look at that. It's a solemnity of the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. I thought so. We're not going to go into the Sacred Heart per se today. But I've got kind of a conceptual show kind of in my mind here. So we'll see where this goes. This might get kind of I wasn't really sure what I wanted to talk about today. So but I read an article that's kind of got me going a little bit. I think it's very interesting. Just that coupled with kind of what's going on in my world. And I think I want to talk about I want to talk about the heart, and I want to talk about the role that friendship plays in that, and what we're looking for in friendship, what we're looking for in relationship, how that might affect how we run our stores and run our churches and run our marriages, and what is maybe how it might affect the way you work as an entrepreneur or an employer, or what kind of employee you are, and how you would react when things are good or things are bad or things are hard in your business or in your family or in your ministry. I want to talk about that. And so this got me going. Sidebar, before I even start talking about this, I just wanted to do a public shout out to everyone who works at or has ever worked at Totally Legit Coffee Bar, which is the shop that my company, Calyx, manages for the Augustine Institute here in Denver, Colorado. We've kind of gravitated between, we had a clean 5 stars on Yelp for the first, I think, 20-something reviews. And then, you know, we started getting the occasional 3-star with some, you know, with positive language. And I'd say we have 60% 5-star reviews. When the new reviews come in, they're usually maybe 3/4 of them are 5 stars and then 4 stars. I rarely see a 3-star anymore. So we gravitate. I think we have 4.8 stars, 4.75 stars right now, mathematically. But we're considered a 4.5-star shop at the moment. But over time, we've spent long swaths of time as a 5-star shop, and the language that people use a lot when they write about the shop, the thing that I notice is that they often mention the people in the shop, in the environment, and how sweet people are, how clear it is that we care or something. And that makes me more happy. I like hearing that the coffee's good. I like hearing that there's a high level of craft there, but I liked even more to hear that the hospitality was good and the service was good. But what I love it when people are struck by the people of the shop, the people who work there and the people that they meet sitting at the counter. And most of the people writing on Yelp did not come into this shop for any religious reasons, even though it's inside a Catholic graduate school. We just happened to be the only craft coffee bar down there in that southern third of the metro area, which is anywhere near the highway or the DTC. And so people find us all the time. And they just did. So we got I got an email today telling us that we had received for 2016 the People Love You on Yelp Award or something, or I think it's called the People Love You on Yelp Award. And we get a little sticker to put on the door and stuff, and it's probably doesn't mean much. It's probably not. There's probably untold thousands of businesses that get this sticker. But it hit me after a few experiences this week in a shop, how completely grateful I am. And I get down on not being able to do as hip of a craft coffee bar as I would like to do because of the dual nature of the shop and its location. And, but it just reminded me that we are in fact really reaching out to people and that people are being drawn in to the shop. And I love that. I love that. So, I'm not going to name everybody cause I'll forget someone because I'm just wanting to do that. So everybody who's ever been on staff at Totally Legge and to my staff to work there now, thank you very much. It's been an honor and a privilege to work with you. And I see nothing but more good stuff for this shop as we go forward. So that's part of what got me interested in what I want to talk about today. And just by coincidence, it kind of happened that I just realized it was the Feast of the Sacred Heart or the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart. And it kind of dovetails well with what I want to talk about. So there was an article over on, where was it at? I think on thepublicdiscourse.com. Let us go over there and have a look. Why is it not going over there? Let's have a look. Where is it? Yes, at thepublicdiscourse.com. It is called, which I guess is an aspect of the Witherspoon Institute. I don't know anything about it. And it's called Aristotle, True Friendship and the Soulmate View of Marriage. And it's by Angela McKay Noble, who, as best I can tell, is an associate professor of philosophy at Catholic University of America. And I really, I think this is both a really nice introduction on a very kind of thumbnail sketch level of what Aristotle's view of it is. A really deep article that's really well written. And so, come and read this Aristotle, True Friendship and the Soulmate View of Marriage. I'm not going to go through and discuss the fullness of this article, but I'm going to be riffing off of it and quoting it a little bit. So if you're listening on the on-demand, it wouldn't be a horrible idea to maybe hit pause, skim over this article, and then come back and hit play again. It might be worth it because I'm going to probably dip into this a few times. And unlike sometimes books that I tend to be reading. Also, this is affecting my life, both the Yelp thing today and me thinking about that. It was just lovely and amazing and does such a great job at making. And at the same time, I cooked dinner last night for a woman that I'm seeing that's, well, 4 or 5 dates now. And, it was, you know, that got me thinking about, you know, kind of what am I looking for in a romantic relationship and what do I want out of that? And why does that matter? And what role does friendship play in that? And I was kind of looking at that and kind of penetrating my own heart a little bit with that and kind of looking at through that perspective. And at the same time, I'm reading Vladimir Lasky's book, The Mystical Theology of the Orthodox Church, I think it's called. And he's very much kind of comparing and contrasting some things, the way that we do things in the West and the way the East does things. And I see some of this stuff kind of through the lens of the Sacred Heart, through the lens of friendship. I want to kind of maybe touch on the apophatic and the cataphatic approach to knowing God. Now, those are big fancy Greek words for the way of negation or the way of attribution or the positive way and the negative way. I may end up in that a little bit too. So it's kind of a conceptual show today. I'm not sure where this is going to go. I'm doing this one, fairly off the cuff, which usually means it's going to be a classic or something that didn't quite happen. But either way, it's usually a good time. So, yeah, so that's what we have on tap today. I wanted to remind you, I don't self-promote enough on here, that we are on Twitter. We are at Counterposition at Twitter. You can email me, little old me, right at me, at thecounterposition@gmail.com. And we are on Facebook, though I am really remiss about putting these episodes up on there. And I have been chided by friends for not working that Facebook page. And something else that I want to talk to you more about this next week, but we have a new concept called the Friend of the Show, where different shows on Breadbox Media you can support. We're kind of a startup, and we're kind of getting our feet under us conceptually and operationally and even financially. We're trying to make a go of this, and we've been, a lot of people have put a boatload of work into trying to create something that just hasn't existed before. We're trying to create a multimedia network with a much broader range, where we're Catholics making media. And so it's a Catholic media network in a sense, but we want to go for a much wider swath of Catholicism and outside and into the broader world with things that people can relate to. And so there's going to be a way coming for you to support that and get access to some exclusive content. And I'm even going to be working on some exclusive content this weekend. So once I kind of have that a little more lined up, I'll be telling you how to get to that. So let's head off to the break, and I'll be back in a second listening to The Counterposition.
Let my sacred word to mutter. Ran too fast and turned to butter. I'm a bit too much for me to chew.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
Let me skip across the pond. I'm an ocean on and on. I'm a fish with no bowl that I outgrew. Lift my blood. Only one on track.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. Okay, so also, little technical housekeeping. not just technical housekeeping, but so I woke up this morning to hammers again. If you've been listening, you know that I've gone from traffic saga to hammer saga as my week has shifted to working from home. And so this morning I went downstairs, made myself a beautiful cup of Colombian from Colombia Guzman from Commonwealth Coffee, which, by the way, sidebar shout out, I want to thank publicly Kevin Clay, a former host of the Monastic Option here a long time ago on the on Breadbox Media, and an old friend of mine, because he sent me a couple of things I bought from him, along with a bunch of free stuff. And then included in that was two little small mugs from Europa's Gourmet Market, which was my very first independent coffee project that I ever built back in 1999. And so that, and I love these little mugs. I remember ordering them from Westford Military China, and I tell you what, they still look like they're brand new. So I don't know if Westford Military China is still in business, but if they are, I would not hesitate to give them some business, because evidently they know how to print on a mug in a way that keeps it in order. Anyway, so long story short, that was touching. I didn't. Now, if anyone listening has a mug from Coffee Boy in Fillmore, California, I don't have a mug from my own shop from back in the day. Just when we shut down, people started grabbing the mugs and buying them and stealing them and taking them. And when it all got said and done, I ended up with one, and it has gotten lost somewhere. So if anybody has an extra Coffee Boy mug that they would be willing to part ways with, the founder of Coffee Boy doesn't have one anymore. So anyway, so there you go. So I woke up and I to hammers and I went downstairs and made a coffee. Picked up my copy of Lasky that I'm reading on, and went to the back porch to get away from the hammers, And now they're finishing the roof on the apartment building next door. So there's roofing going on two sides of my house right now. There's literally not a porch that I can sit on that doesn't have hammers and roofing going on and people yelling back and forth at each other in Spanish. In addition to that, someone has decided that they were going to leave their beautiful little white poodle that looks like my old buddy Grizzle from my uncle Steve's house, alone and with the windows open across the street. And this dog has been crying nonstop out the window all morning. So, and the swamp cooler is on cause it's super hot and I'm in my home studio. So I'm going to do some serious, noise cancellation on this episode. So if it sounds a little flat as you're listening, I apologize because, and if you hear a dog yelping in the background or something, this is radio without a net, as I always say. So there you go. There's a more than you needed to know about my sound environment, which was also my morning. But you know what? I decided to come back to the front porch this morning and I tuned out the hammers. And honestly, I felt a deep amount of gratitude, that I was doing something for a living where I'm allowed to sit on my porch at 9:30 in the morning and drink a beautiful cup of coffee and not have to be crawling around on someone's roof, ripping tiles off and beating something with a hammer. That easily could have been my lot in life. So that worked out. The hammers worked out, you know. And I guess what happened is that guy heard that song about if I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning. Well, and he took it literally, and he got a hammer, and he hammers in the morning across the street from my house. that's such a bad joke. If you're laughing, shame on you. You shouldn't encourage me. That's a really bad joke. All right, so let's get back to this article. Oh, I'm in a good mood, ladies and gentlemen. I hate to say that, but I am in a good mood. So I don't hate to say that. It's funny. I'm better on the show when I'm a little sardonic and a little contemplative, but I'm quite giddy today. I'm in a good mood. All right. So, but let's compose ourselves and move back to serious topics like friendship. Okay. So, what is this woman's name? I was about to say her name and I don't remember it. Angela McKay Noble. So Angela, Ms. Noble, starts this article on thepublicdiscourse.com called Aristotle, True Friendship and the Soulmate View of Marriage. With a quote from Raymond Carver. And she says that toward the end of his life, dying from cancer, but finally sober, finally in a stable relationship and finally at peace, the American writer and poet Raymond Carver wrote Late Fragment. And she posts this tiny poem here. It says, "And did you get what you wanted from this life, even so? I did. And what did you want? To call myself beloved, to feel myself beloved on the earth." And I think that sums up really, really, and the only different goal of our deepest being loved, of our deepest experience, desire for an experience of goes beyond the earth, right? We want. And beyond, and even on the earth, well, depending on what he means by this grammar, maybe he does mean that, but to be beloved, to take that nature of being beloved into our very identity and let that kind of become our identity. And I've talked a lot about that in reference to masculinity and masculine spirituality under the influence of Father Philip Chavez back in the day at the Amator Institute, that every man, really every person, but definitely every man, wants to hear those words that Christ heard from his Father. You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Or even to the older brother, where he says, you are with me always, and everything I have is yours. Those are the things we want to hear, right? On this earth, as a means to that, we want to be beloved and to feel beloved. Now, beyond that, we want to, if we really grow, if we really move on to a deeper level of real virtue, if we really figure out what the game is in a real way, then it's not just a matter of feeling beloved, but it's being able to love and being in a relationship of reciprocal love, of reciprocal goodwill towards each other. And in that perfect, in the perfect version of that between persons, we have what Aristotle would call perfect friendship or true friendship, right? When you truly are more focused in the relationship, not on what you can get out of it, but on the good of the other. And that's interesting. But then feeling that being beloved, that what we want to feel is we want to feel that coming back to us, right? We want to feel that we are valued, that we are held, not in esteem, but we're held as valuable, as precious, and that someone else accepts us and affirms us and sees the beauty and dignity within us that maybe we can't even see, and they have ordered their life to act for that good in relationship to us, right? That would be friendship. Now, obviously, the deepest version of that friendship between human persons is going to be marriage. Right. And it's not, now marriage is about something. It is about, the creation, rearing and education of children. But then that second end, that we talk about, that's in Catholic theology, is that it's the unity of nature of the relationship, the unity of the persons involved, that we can, become deeply and deeply more and more one. So I want to talk a little bit about this view of friendship. And I want to talk a little bit about Aristotle, and I want to talk about how that plays out in a few different spheres that I think about a lot. And then after we get done with that, I'm going to talk about what that means between us and God. Now, I'm not going to delve into the deep argument that Aristotle makes about whether or not men and gods can be friends, because that's a long, long argument, and we'd have to bring Aquinas in, and that's just not the nature of the show today. Maybe we'll do that some other time, and I need to refresh myself a little bit on that. So anyway, so let's head off to the break. When we get back, we're going to talk about friendship in a few spheres. So, all right, thanks for coming out. We'll be back in just a second.
We crave a hanging and it's dark.
Breadbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
People singing, please don't sting, but please don't go.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley, here on Breadbox Media. All right, so we are talking about friendship, and we're talking about the nature and the feeling of being beloved. and we're talking about what role maybe loving someone and having a real friendship with someone, and where you want the true good for that person, right? Now, and the reason I want to talk about this kind of through the rubric of friendship is I think that friendship in its different forms and its different degrees plays a role in a lot, I think it is the architectonic principle of human engagement and the development of relationship, is whether or not this thing can be considered friendship. What kind of friendship is it? How deep of a friendship is it? And what is that doing to each person involved? I think is one of the deepest, most core, just absolute basic realities, that if you understand that, you can understand in some way, in some sense, the meaning of life, right? Not the end of life, because, well, it is the end of life. The end of life is to, what is it? The Westminster Confession, one of the big Protestant confessions says that the chief aim of life is to know God and enjoy Him forever. So we're trying to have a friendship, to amass friendships on earth that mirror our friendships in heaven. And we're trying to build a relationship with God that is, one of true, real friendship. Now, as I said, and it's going to be hard to say, you can't really have we mean something different when we say friendship with God, because we can't really truly give anything to God that, and offer anything to God that He hasn't already given us. So we're on a very lopsided, we're getting the better end of the stick in that relationship on the metaphysical level. And you know, we are ultimately, as Jazani has said on several occasions, that we are beggars at the door of being. So, but there is something that we can make a good pass at what the goal of our side of that relationship is through looking at it through the rubric of friendship, I think. But first I want to talk about, this got me thinking about this today, because, like I said before in the first segment, when I did the shout out, our shop just got like some kind of award from Yelp, and who knows how prestigious it is or how many people, but maybe almost everyone gets it. Who knows? But, it just got me thinking about how in our shop, how grateful I am that even though we are a place that is really, really known for being Catholic, and it's inside a Catholic school, even though it's open to the public, it tends to be a place where people, I'd say a good majority of the people who come through there are there because they either work there, study there, or they are akin to us in some form of ideology that makes them prone to coming to that place for the sake of that ideology, that view of the world, that worldview. But we have a lot of people come and they experience something. And some of the words that you see in some of the Yelp reviews and in some of the reviews I've seen in different places about our shop, they always speak about the persons. They always speak about the way that they felt and the way they were treated. And I'll tell you the secret sauce to that. And the secret sauce is we give a damn. That's the secret sauce. We actually care about people. Not just so that they'll like our shop and get out of our hair and go drink their coffee and say that we're good at making coffee. We do want them to think we're good at making coffee. And we are good at making coffee. We don't just want them to spend more money, though we want them to spend money. Come spend money, I totally legit. But we have a bigger game going. We are trying to, in some way, be a witness, some type of a catalyst for connection, a bridge, if you will. And a lot of times all we're doing maybe most of the time with the unchurched and the dechurched, all we're doing is kind of Sherry Waddell in that book, Forming Intentional Disciples, talks about those stages, the 1 through 5 stages. And really all we're doing is just going from 0 to 1, where there's kind of a trust, where they just have a guy came in the other day. And he didn't seem like he was a particularly Christian dude or anything. And Subdeacon Ryan from Holy Protection of the Mother of God Byzantine was in during his day job grabbing a coffee. And he and I got in a really geeky conversation about Latin grammar and the best way to learn Latin. I mean, Greek grammar and the best way to learn Greek and the difference between classical Greek and Koine and then the Greek of the church fathers and all this stuff. We're just having a very inside baseball conversation about Greek. And this guy got in and said, yeah, you know, we were talking about Latin as well. And he's like, yeah, I actually was one of those people that took Latin in high school. I haven't really kept it up. And he started talking and we had this conversation. I guarantee you that the only thing he walked away from was maybe more, but most likely he was like, oh, there are like Catholic people that like buy into all that stuff that are intelligent and seem to be like normal, sweet people that are mindful and want to kind of learn things and understand well. That's it. That's all we got from him. But I have seen a lot of relationships in our shop start as that. And then they move on to maybe some real seeking, some curiosity at least. You know, some curiosity about, well, why would such an... I think I know what Catholicism is about, and it seems just closed-minded and idiotic and barbarous. And yet, these people seem to be loving, intelligent people, and yet they buy into this this thing that I think is idiotic. And they just, maybe there's a cognitive dissonance there, and they're like, well, that just doesn't make sense. Because the people that I, in my world, that I know who are really mindful, intelligent, loving people usually don't like things that are just completely hateful and unloving and terrible. So, you know, a subtle logic works its way out. And over time they're going, well, maybe there's something else to that because I trust that I'm a good reader of people. I have a good judgment of character and these people don't seem like, you know, hateful idiots. So, you know, maybe it just come away with just maybe just a curiosity, maybe curiosity is too positive a word, maybe just a cognitive dissonance, you know, where there's two things and they don't match, or maybe it's a vexation. That's such a good word. I saw the trailer for Suicide Squad before X-Men. And he says, if you do this guy that's leading them, because he says, if you do this and do this, I will shoot you. If you do this and this, I will shoot you. He goes, if you annoy me or vex me, I will shoot you. And Margot Robbie's character, Harley Quinn, says, I have been known to be quite vexing. I just thought I'd get that right out there. You know, vex. I remember this the Saturday Night Live sketch with the cavemen sitting around and there's got Lothar of the hill people. And he's like, does that vex you? No, that does not vex me. No, I have to admit, I am a little bit vexed. Vex is a good word. Anyway, so maybe they're just going to be vexed a little bit. They're just going to be just a little confused. I'm going to go, wow. But that might be, and all I want to do is, it'd be nice if they stuck around, if they come back, if they live here, they come back. Over time, they get to know us, they get more and more involved. Maybe they can even come all the way into the sacraments. But chances are probably not. Chances are the great bulk of people are either on the road looking for something, mostly just they're thirsty, hungry, and need to check their email. Give them that. That's good. Those are things we need. And we're not going to see them again. Or they're just people that come here once or twice a week because they work across the street. And over time, they'll get more and more positive towards us and maybe a little more positive. But ultimately, we have to have a deep trust in the Holy Spirit that he is going to do something with them. Now, that being said, I have seen a few people over time that we have entered into a fairly, I'd say that we've gone beyond a friendship of utility for sure, over into a deep friendship around the pleasant, a pleasurable friendship. But in as much as in that environment with infrequent contact and without, you know, kind of being on the same page in a lot of ways with regard to virtue, we've entered into some real honest, actual friendship, you know? I think that's really, really, really true, right? So how are we going to go about this? How much time we have left? Let's go to the break. I am getting not nearly how much I wanted to covered in this show, but that's fine. I didn't know if I had enough out of this concept to even do a show. So let's just kind of hit pause on that. When we come back, I want to dive into I want to just finish up that friendship that can happen with strangers in business through the lens of looking at what I do, maybe apply that back to Calyx a little bit. And then I want to move on to a quick look at marriage and erotic love in that concept. And then I want to just kind of end with talking about how this might affect how we go about trying to know God. So you're listening to The Counterposition. I'm your host, Andrew Whaley. We'll be right back.
Then all the color glass, that painter's palette smash, all the colors of my soul.
Breadbox Media invites you to Bless the Yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit breadboxmedia.com.
I'm a hyena laughing fool. I'm a hero without anyone to save. Love decked myself in toys. I'm a poor and kingly boy. Oh, I'm lovely, and I'm dull.
Welcome back to The Counterposition. I am your humble host, Andrew Whaley. Fourth segment, fourth lap. The slightly less chubby shot putter is trucking around the last leg of the open mic. That's going on the second Counterposition coffee mug, which I think I might get West for Military China to make based on how good this Europa's mug looks after being used daily since 1999, or at least frequently. All right. So per usual, I bit off more than I can chew conceptually for this show. So, let me just go back and say that there has been people in our shop, some of which who are very, very far in both experience and in ideology from the Roman Catholic faith, that over time, through conversation, through just really caring about what we make them, by not judging and listening and being open and then responding with kind of wonder-driven truth from a real personal engagement with reality, that some of those people in our shop have, I would say, become friends. And that is kind of the entire idea behind my apostolic calyx. And I would ask everyone to pray for me, because I have a lot of some forks in the road and some decisions to make about what to do with Calyx and whether or not to build a prototype and lock myself into a location for a while, or whether or not to keep running around helping other people build shops only. And so the whole core of that concept is to take a shop, not cover it in super Catholicism propaganda, stick it next to a public university or in a dense pagan urban area. So if you're in the Denver area listening, putting it down by DU or over on their Auraria campus or up in the middle, flat dab in the middle of Capitol Hill, the Highlands or something, you know, and then just knowing that you're going to spend the first 2-3 years just pulling shots and listening and talking to people about things that matter, but not doing a bunch of apologetics, not, you know, doing a bunch of primary proclamation and stuff. You just earning the right to be heard using beauty, craft, hospitality, and justice in the way that we operate, to where we just get the respect and we get we earn the right to be friends. We develop a friendship by earning that right over time. And then slowly and totally organically sharing our lives with them in the way that we would share them with any other friend, even though it's in pieces, maybe daily pieces from across the bar. But a lot can happen across the bar. There's been times I used to ask Father Riley if he could deputize me to give absolution, because people will that I barely know will come in and give me their confession sometimes. People want to be heard. We want to feel heard, right? I ended up not even talking about this article hardly at all. So if that's a bait and switch and you waited in only to listen to this article, then I may actually do a show on this article, but I got sidetracked. All right, so but let's get to that just a little bit. She says that now, and she ends up saying something along the lines of what Tiwa would say, that Eros has to be a species of agape, that this, you know, a true friendship has to be the base, a true friendship with the shared activity that kind of that makes the natural relationship between men and women, the making, rearing, education, and raising of children, and the creating of a stable environment. You know, everything from affirming them to giving them physical touch and tickling them and wrestling with them so that they, you know, get what you need from that, to making sure that the roof doesn't leak on them or the house doesn't fall down and they've got something other than, you know, food like Franken substances to put in their body and not letting them eat crap all the time. You know, I mean, that's that, but that is not all there is at the core of all that. And the way I've heard this spoken of, and the way I'll talk about it is, I've heard both Father Michael O'Loughlin and Dr. Tuller, married. They start off face to face in this deep intimacy of face to face, and eventually the self begins to shore the individuals up and make them into one cohesive unit. Usually with the onset of children, this is kind of forced on you. You turn from face to face to shoulder to shoulder. And now you're working on something. And then sometimes that what you learn there, it's kind of like Moses. What he learned with 10, he applied to 50. What he learned with 50, he applied to 100. You know, so on. So what you learn with your kids and your family and that instinct for being other-centric as a mode of service in your relationship can then start moving outside of that sphere and being a source of, how to say it, a source of service and mercy for the people around you, right? So that mutual goodwill that has to be, this has to be at the center of a marriage, or it's broken. Friendship has to underlie that. I'm convinced that friendship, any human relationship that friendship doesn't underlie. Because remember, Carol Wojtyła, later known as Pope John Paul II, said in his book, Love and Responsibility, that a person is that being which the only proper stance towards which is love. The only way that you can treat a human person that isn't abuse is to love them, right? And what is definition? What is the definition of love? It's the gift of self. Right. And so that mutual good, ultimately, we're called to engage anytime we act and the object of our action is another human person. We are called to friendship. That's what we're called to. That's the only way to do that. Right. And so that's true with business relationships. That's true with marriages. That's true with all these things. Right. And so, before I switch over to talking about the relationship of God, there's a line in here in this article that I think I may end up doing a whole show about. It says, she's talking about Raymond Carver, that we listened to the poem in the beginning. She says, is that what Carver was talking about? Okay. So, she had talked about pursuing virtue and concord and all this, but she says, is that what Carver was talking about? I think so. I think the great and terrible loneliness in the feeling that no one gets us is at heart the feeling that no one sees the world as we see it or cherishes what we cherish. If what we cherish above all else is our own personal benefit, there is no remedy for that loneliness. But if we can see life as about something higher,
something greater than even a single friend who gets those things can be powerful enough to drive that. But let me re-say that. But if we can see life as about something higher, something greater, then even a single friend who gets those things can be powerful enough to drive that loneliness away. So I think that that just brings home how important that friendship can be. You know, there's that story I've told several times of the famous prostitute that was being paraded through the streets, and a bishop coming out of a conclave looked right at her. And when she got out of jail, she came and looked for him, said, "What did you do? What was that look?" She thought it was some kind of mojo he put on her or something. It was just love. It was just the gaze of love without it being colored by lust. That's all it was. So one look made a difference in her life. How many people in the stories in the Gospels have one encounter with Christ and it moves them? How many people just had Peter's shadow fall on them and they were changed, right? So in this last little bit, I want to talk about God. Now, it's interesting. We spend so much time wanting to learn about God. And there's been a real emphasis on, back before the Second Vatican Council, the Baltimore Catechism and all that, we did catechesis in a way that taught people about the faith, right? And some people have moved on and went, the faith, yeah, but we need to know about God. And, you know, you can get into the all kinds of metaphysical philosophy and stuff. And I think that stuff's all beautiful. And I have clocked in hundreds of hours working on that stuff. And I still do. But ultimately, the goal in this is to know God. And to know God the way one knows a person. And the way one knows a person is through love. And it's through the mutual love. Now, given the only love that we can give God is giving back what he gave us, because our very being is received. We are beggars at the door of being, like Jazani said. But we can take that borrowed being, that gifted being, and the love that is inherent in it, and we can offer it back to God. And we can act for him as our end. And ultimately, if we're not careful, knowing too much about this stuff can make it hard to really know him. And so here on the Feast of the Solemnity of the Sacred Heart, I just don't remember that God became incarnate and he still has that human heart. He ascended in a human body with a human nature. And so he's a human person. I'm not a human person. He's a divine person with a human being, a human nature, right? And so maybe just take some time today to talk to God the way you talk to a friend, with the goal of being friends with him. And maybe just tell him that, and you don't know what that means or what it would look like. I think that's the best way you could celebrate this solemnity, is a friendship with God, or at least a spark up a friendship with God. So, man, that's all we have time for. Man, that went quick. I apologize. I oversold what we were going to cover. But I guess you guys are used to that if you've been listening. All right, let's pull the plug and pop the cork on another episode of The Counterposition. Thanks for coming out. See you next time.
I take your place, marble stone. I take your place, marble stone.